I have some questions for which there are no good answers. The first one is not all that controversial, but it may give you a moment to pause and think. It is, do you like my new hairstyle? The second one you've heard before. Does my butt look fat in these jeans? And number three, do you know how fast you were going? And the answer, why? Well, the hairstyle one, if you say, yes, I like the hairstyle, and I know this is a man and a woman thing, but if you say, yes, I like your new hairstyle, the response is, didn't you like it the way it was before? Ever have that happen? It's probably not quite fair. You've never had that happen, Tammy? Sean knows better. So what's the answer to that question? Of course, dear. But what about, did you like it before? Of course, dear? Oh, of course, dear. I get it. Okay. All right, how about, the answer to the question, you know, does my butt look fat in these jeans? Duh, you just don't answer that question. One of my friends wrote that they don't buy into that. They just say, whatever, and that's it, which can get you in just as much trouble. But you can't say yes, and you can't pause. Just, there's no good answer to that question. And then, do you know how fast you were going? You get pulled over, and none of you have ever been pulled over, right? Or anyone? Maybe been pulled over for driving too fast. Not for driving too fast. Never been pulled over. All right, everybody, just take a moment here and look. It's as if there is a light shining right there. Well, if the police officer says to you, do you know how fast you were going? And you say no, you mean you weren't paying attention to how fast you were going? If you say yes, and you were still speeding? See, there's no good answer. Yes. So Madeline has been pulled over before and pulled the my husband broke it card. It doesn't work for men. It just doesn't. All of these things. Crying, all that. Actually, I read what to do in that case. Do you know how fast you were going? The correct response is to be silent. Not rude, but to be silent. Don't say, yes, I know how I was going. Don't say, I'm sorry I was speeding or anything like that. Just acknowledge that the police officer has pulled you over and accept the ticket. And then later on, you can probably get court supervision because you were a good driver, usually. Not fast enough. Yeah, Roger, you'd say that. Sure, you would. All right, what are some other questions that have no good answers to it? Can you think of any? Or are those just the three? There's no others. Yeah, have you stopped beating your wife is the one that's just, that's like whenever you look for a list of loaded questions, that's always the first one. Or when did you stop beating your wife? All those things like that. And they're you know, any question that the answer, no matter what you answer, it affirms what the question was looking to affirm. This happens in surveys. Political surveys are really good at loaded questions. And adding like that, and the left and the right both do it. You know, they say, you know, in what way will the new health care bill destroy our population? What? Or in what way will the new health care bill save our population? Either way, you can't answer it without affirming the basic premise of the question there. Loaded questions. Questions for which there are no good answers. And sometimes there are no good answers, but sometimes the right answer to a question is the wrong answer to the question. Go ahead, just wrap your brain around that for a second. That's right, you have to pull over whenever the fire truck or the ambulance goes through or the police car goes through. You pull to the side. I know, yeah. That's the law, isn't it? In this week's Bible reading, Jesus presented the disciples with a question that's in the category of when the right answer is wrong. Because Jesus said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Peter said it right away. You are the Messiah. In other translations, it says you are the Christ. Because Messiah means anointed one in Hebrew, and Christ means anointed one in Greek. So it's the same word. So Jesus, the Messiah, Jesus, the Christ, Jesus the Anointed One, are the same thing. In Hebrew, we would say Yeshua HaMashiach, which is Jesus the Messiah. Do you know that Jesus in Greek is Joshua in Hebrew? That's another fun one, too. So Yeshua, Joshua is Jesus in Greek. So Peter made the good answer. And we have said over and over again that Jesus was the Anointed One. Jesus was the one that everyone was waiting for. Peter correctly identified Jesus as the Messiah. We can get that just from that little part there. And we've preached about that. I've preached about that. Other people have talked about that, that Jesus is the one. It's not Keanu Reeves in The Matrix. Jesus is the one. But Peter was confused when he gave the answer. Did you know that? Or are you going to get angry with me for saying, no, he said it right? See, Messiah, or Anointed One, is a term loaded with conquering king ideas. In the Old Testament, all the kings of Israel and Judah were called Messiah, the Anointed One, because the king was the Anointed One. And Peter, by calling him the Messiah, expected, like many other people too, Jesus to be the king that would come and take charge by force. In the scriptures that Peter knew, Torah, and the other scriptures that the Jewish people would follow, we call it the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, Messiah would be a powerful ruler and would rule absolutely. Suffering and death would not come with the title Messiah. They just wouldn't do that. And so it's no wonder that Jesus called Peter out when Peter rebuked him. Peter, rightly, by what he understood, said, Jesus, you can't be talking this death stuff and all this suffering and dying, because Messiah doesn't do that. And then when Jesus calls Peter Satan, Satan's another loaded term for us, because all of a sudden when you say Jesus as Satan, and you get this view of, if you have the view of the guy with the pitchfork and the horns, okay, maybe, or maybe a Dorian Gray type beauty with evil in the heart kind of a thing. But Jesus wasn't saying, Satan, you're the devil walking around on earth. You're the one who tempted me in the wilderness or anything like that. Satan is the term for adversary. You are my adversary now. It's a strong term. You wouldn't hear politicians say it now, even though it would be accurate for one to say it to the other. You know, for imagine President Obama saying, why, Newt Gingrich, you're my Satan. And, you know, that would not work really well. Or George Bush saying, you know, someone on the left, John Kerry, you're my Satan. Anything like that wouldn't fly. But that's, Jesus was using a loaded term, a strong term, but he wasn't saying that Peter was evil walking around on earth. See, Jesus said, you are my adversary. And he set the disciples straight about what was going to come. Jesus was going to suffer, and he was going to die, and he was going to rise again. And further, Jesus' followers were going to have to deny themselves and be authentic followers of Jesus. See, when we call Jesus the Messiah today, we use that term. We don't use it loosely, but we call Jesus Messiah. We call Jesus the Christ. We understand about one who suffered and died and rose again. It's part of our faith. It's why we worship on Sunday. I mean, it's the day of resurrection. We understand that Jesus isn't about military takeovers and force. We understand that Jesus doesn't come to operate from I'm going to kick some backside and establish my reign based on fear mindset. That's not Jesus. We understand that Jesus really wants us to authentically and truly follow him and to continue to follow the two commandments, the two non-negotiable commandments, loving God and loving our neighbor. Right? Except maybe we don't always have that in our mind, because we think Jesus is going to come back. You see billboards, I'm going to clean up the language just a little bit. It's one of those, call it a really liberal spiritual one, but a really conservative spiritual one too. It says, Jesus is coming back, and boy is she angry. Right? They use the she in there and all that stuff. But we get this idea, and we look in Revelation in the Bible, and we look in all of this stuff coming up, and we say, Jesus is going to come back with force. Jesus is going to come back and set everything right. Jesus is going to make all the bad go away and all the good is going to be there and bad will just not be allowed. Satan will be put in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And it's in Scripture. But Scripture described the way Jesus was going to come the first time. He was going to be the king. The people all expected Jesus to be the king that would come over and take over by force. I can't tell you exactly how everything turns out. But wouldn't it be interesting if all of the Jesus is coming back with force stuff that we think is right isn't at all what Jesus has in mind, and he comes back the same way? The suffering ruler or the suffering servant. There's a lot to think about there. I've offered you maybe some loaded questions in your mind that's going to take a lot of thinking. And they're great topics for conversation, so you just got to hold on to that right now and go, oh, because we've got more to explore today. This is the second part of the Scripture. If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Some harsh, harsh words. So let me get right to a really important part here. Too many people have misused these words to tell oppressed people that their suffering is their cross to bear. Instead of advocating for and working for change that would bring an end to the suffering of the marginalized, the outcast, and the forgotten, they have been used as a weapon to put people down instead of an inspiration to serve God. Think back, you know, rewind the tape in your head of what has happened throughout your life. Have you ever heard somebody say something like that? It's their cross to bear. Take up your cross. It's your cross to bear. It usually has been said about people who are on the margins for whatever reason. But Jesus' words here, they aren't about telling the oppressed to suck it up. They are about changing from an attitude of self-centeredness to God-centeredness, pure and simple. They are about understanding that when Jesus says, and this is in another scripture, but it's related to what Jesus is saying now because it informs us who Jesus is. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has set me to proclaim release of the captives and recovery of the sight to the blind and to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. When Jesus says that, these words, they tell us that we're called not to tell folks that it's their cross to bear. But rather, we are to stop thinking about accumulating more stuff and start acting to be sure that all have enough. They're about realizing that in loving God and in loving one another, in serving Jesus, instead of putting our focus only on ourselves, and it's so easy to put our focus only on ourselves, but it's in serving Jesus instead of focusing only on ourselves that we experience life. So there's a lot to think about in that one too. Let me end just repeating this. This is what you get to take home with you. If you take off nothing else, write this down, put it on your forehead, put it on the refrigerator. Not self-centeredness, but God-centeredness. Following Jesus the Christ. Let's pray. We thank you, God, for your word. We thank you for community. We thank you for sending us Messiah. Help us to focus on being you-centered and not us-centered. In Jesus' name, amen.